Colourful music for colourful people. This is Colourful Radio.
Recently we've had Eric Benet and newcomer Universal Motown artist Melanie Fiona on the show. Soon to come next week, we've got Beverly Knight MBE here live. And in future weeks, we hope to have Leroy Burgess and Leela James, who had a fantastic concert at the Jazz Cafe last night. But tonight, we have a man who's quite simply made musical history, and that's a fact. A music maker for four decades, truly a pioneer in black music. His amazing discography includes classic recordings and collaborations with Marvin Gaye, Quincy Jones, Minnie Riperton, Maxwell, Average White Band, and of course Michael Jackson as well. Perhaps best known for being the man responsible for co-writing and producing what critics and soul connoisseurs say regularly is Marvin Gaye's best album. I'm talking about the I Want You album. Plus, we must not forget his own 9 or 10 albums, classic albums as well, including the seminal Motown moment, Musical Massage. Proud tonight to welcome to Colourful Radio for an exclusive interview one of my musical heroes, the legendary, and I don't say that lightly, singer-songwriter, composer-producer, Mr. Leon Ware. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing absolutely fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Very well. All the better for seeing you. Are you having a good time in London?
All the better for being here and being seen. And I am having an excellent time.
Good, that's good. That's good to
looking forward to a wonderful moment, a show that will continue my message of love and my ministry of sensuality.
Yeah, we look forward to your concert on Thursday at the Jazz Cafe. We'll get into that a little bit later on.
Great.
Because we've got a lot of tracks to get through as well tonight.
We do.
I hope you're ready to party.
We do.
I hope you're ready to party.
I am
on the Ghetto Heaven show tonight.
Party's my middle name.
Now. The new album. Let's get straight into the new album, yeah? So we're going to focus on that. You've been playing it from the show since, what, October last year, I think, yeah?
Yeah, and I was just talking about the, album should have been heard a bit more than it has. And I'm looking forward to it doing that.
Okay.
Some really wonderful work on it.
Okay, we're going to talk about your past as well and take it back in the day because you've got a deep history and deep catalogue of music.
Extremely deep.
Yeah. So you come straight from the rehearsals at the Jazz Cafe to see us tonight.
Yes.
We appreciate that.
Well, it's a part of all of what we're doing, especially with Colourful being in the run of the new wave of introducing new pieces and new talent.
Uh-huh.
Well, now you're dealing with some old talent.
So we're talking about the new album as well, as we said,
yes.
Moonride.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Moonride is a continuation of my musical, adventure. It says, a moonride is what you would think of when you're romantically headed for a moment with your lover.
Okay.
And you're looking at the
moment. I like those moments.
Oh, I think a lot of people do. I hope a lot of people do. Again, hopefully it will be heard a lot more than it has been, because it's not a secret, but it's not been as public. Then again, time will tell. Time will tell.
Yeah, people are still discovering your old music.
Yes, it's true.
So, you know.
It's true.
But I've had a lot of critical good reports about the new album, so that must be good. Good to hear.
Hopefully. I think it should be received. The potential of it is really nice,
to
say the least.
So this is your is the debut album for Stax, yeah?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. Well,
do you want to tell us about that, the involvement with Stax?
Well, the involvement came about by a young man that visited me a few years ago as a fan, and he had an idea he wanted to do a compilation.
Okay, yeah.
And he had wanted to do some work with me. He was with the Virgin at one point, but the timing was not right. And we didn't actually meet until he walked through my door and offered me this project. And it started, as I say, as a compilation. But as the year progressed and he was listening to some original pieces that I was coming up with, he decided that we'll do the compilation after we do a full album of new material,
yeah,
which I'm always into. I like to do new things.
New material.
Yes.
That's what you want to hear.
Yes, constantly. I'm always into the change and the involvement and the evolution of the process.
Yeah. So how long did this new album take to complete? It was quite a long time, wasn't it?
About a year.
All right.
Wouldn't have taken as long had I had a consistent flow with how I was working, but then the business and people being out of town and me being out of town, and you know, so it was a good year. I'd say about a year.
So, the new album. I'm loving it, Moonride.
Well, I'm hoping, as I said, it gets heard a bit more, because I feel like what my music does is it's an elixir. One that let's say it poses it brings a lot of possibilities, you know.
Yeah.
One for enjoyment, one for enlightenment, and definitely one for romance and sensuality. So again, it's not to say that I do the same thing, but I do have the same similar message. Because in the process of making love, the wonderful thing about it is if you are creative, you can keep it new.
This is going to be a funny interview now. Sex, sex, and more sex.
No, not sex.
Love.
Not sex. Because as being an industry of sensuality, I have to justify what that means. That means I'm embracing the magic of humanity, not just sex, because sex is the byproduct of, far as I'm concerned, of the whole process. The process is the magic of what sensuality produces. It produces me, you, my wife, my children, your wife, your children, your friends. Every human you see has a debt to the magic. The only thing is that since we've been on the planet, we've misconstrued a lot of things, and that is one of them. What that really means to us, where we go with it, what it really does. I've been locked in it in one part of it for a long time myself too, so I'm guilty. I mean, there is a religious outlook that one can take. I won't go too deep into that, but the truth of the matter is had we really been thinking when we started making religions, sex would have been the first one. Should have been, because when you stop and think about it, we wouldn't have had to go outside to find God. God is all of us. And the beauty is when we realize what we do when we're making love and what that produces, it's simple to understand why one would think of it as a religion. But then, as I say, humanity has a profound habit of taking something beautiful and turning it around. And I'm not saying turn it around. Oh, God. Excuse me. Let's keep it clean.
Let's try. Anyway, it's about time to get into the new album.
Yes.
We're going to hit you with three joints back to back right now. And Smooth In From Inside are going to be two. Mm. You can pick the third. What's the third going to be?
Hold Tonight.
Okay. Stretch Taylor, the Ghetto Heaven Show, here on Colourful Radio, exclusively 9 till 12 each and every Tuesday, with our special guest tonight, the legendary Mr. Leon Ware.
Yes, and I'm glad to be here.
Love this track.
So thank you so much.
So smooth.
Yeah, it's a chilling record.
Yeah.
Colourful music for colourful people. This is Colourful Radio.
Stretch Taylor's Ghetto Heaven Show, Tuesdays 9 till midnight UK time, in the studio with our very, 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 very special guest tonight, Mr. Leon Ware. Those three tracks back to back. You want to talk about those from the new album?
Just break down. Of course, yeah. But of course. sets a wonderful mood for a wonderful
evening.
I feel
relaxed now.
Yes, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely, again, a piece of work that I'm looking forward to. A lot of people hearing, embracing, you know, and making a part of their musical digest, you know, on their turntable.
So those tracks, Smoovin', how did that track come about?
I was written with a young man that I hope he comes out with a CD soon because he's extremely talented, and Chris Robb. And all songs are inspired by moments.
Mm-hmm.
Either a moment you're having,
yeah,
a moment you've had,
uh-huh,
or a moment you're dreaming of. So in that, it makes it kind of fun to open, and my life as a creative person is continuously open. Maybe so open sometimes I allow maybe more to come in than I should. But then I got a few friends that keep me in check. But it's about experiencing. There's so much freshness going on, especially at my point in my life. I mean, I'm looking to stay as fresh as possible. I mean, not to say that 69 is anything other than a wonderful number.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm sure. But it's, again, the joy of finding each new day.
Yeah.
As a 7.5 year would. I am a perennial child, loving it and looking forward to the albums that are following. And I look up when I say that because that's a prayer. But the adventure is so rich, and with the talent that I've come in contact with, the talent that I'm coming in contact with, just like there's a song on the CD called Blue Dress that was written by me and a young man that I actually took to Japan with me a few years ago. He was a brilliant young keyboardist, him and his brother Taylor Graves and Cameron Graves, who are in a group that has actually been doing some touring this year in the UK with a young man. What's the young man's name? Lamar? They were touring with a young man named Lim Lamar. Their group is called Score.
The Score, yeah.
You've heard of them?
Yeah, I've heard of those, yeah.
They're really talented. If you were to be acquainted with the depth of their talent, you'd feel as good about talking about them as I do, because they're not your casually talented kids. These guys can... I'll put it to you this way. I won't make a long story out of it, but I met them at a jazz club called Catalina's. They invited me down because they wanted to work with me. And my back was turned when they came out and started playing. I was talking to the owner of the club about myself, and we have a bit of a rapport, and I was talking. And the music was going on. I had no idea. I had turned around to look and see who were playing. There was 5 young men. Two sets of brothers, bass player and a drummer, and 2 keyboardists, 2 brothers. And I want you to know, I was blown away, because what I was listening to, the only thing was missing was the age, because what was coming off the stage wasn't 18 and 19, because that's how old they were when I met them. And from that, it just reignited the thrill of being in the business and being in the art world and being in the creative world, because I could see that the love for music was still pure. And not to say that I thought it had gone away, but you know, with all the technology and kids having computers and not really spending time homing in on their craft, but just looking at the money that they can make and the acclaim that they can get, as opposed to really loving an art that can do more than just make money. It can heal. It can add to someone's life that really needs consoling. I mean, there's so many now things happening with music. Music is now in hospitals as a part of healing. And where Moonride is now with where I'm at in my life, I'm writing with the same purpose, with a deeper meaning, though. And that's a beautiful thing too, because we're supposed to grow. And I feel like from Moonride to Smoovin', there is a collection of pieces, and each one of them have a little bit different thing to offer.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it's how to do the same thing, but not really do the same thing.
So now you're talking about the kids, and I want to know about your feeling on samples, because along with Roy Ayres and James Brown, you're probably one of the most sampled artists in history. How do you feel about hip hop greats like Tupac and A Tribe Called Quest sampling your music?
I can only say that's an honor. It's giving, in fact, it's giving old work a new face, and as long as it has tact, taste, thought, meaning, I'm in for it.
Okay.
I have had the I've had the moments of not really accepting, if not me, my publisher, or both of us not accepting certain people that have sampled things because of the lack of taste. There is the responsibility we have as creative people, both you, myself, and anyone that's doing what we call communications, we have a responsibility to have a message that inspires, enlightens, or arouses, or if not all of that, and even more. And with what I do, and the people that I work with, it's more than entertainment. It is a service that, fortunately, it's the one service on earth that everybody speaks. The language is so pure. I won't go on, but the thing I'm looking forward to is, along with what Moonride has in it, the people that work with me on the album, from Taylor and his group to there's about three other people. I can't think of names right now. I'm really going with some other thoughts, but the energy that is in that record is played by some really talented people, and I like to shine a light on some of that as well as myself.
That's good. Well, I mean, sampling is surely the highest form of flattery, really.
Yeah, and it's also...
If it's done cleverly.
It's also, as I say, it gives work that was quietly sitting there after being done a new attitude. And again, unless it's something that's derogatory or takes the work to a place where I don't want to be.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm flattered.
Mm.
Also, I like going to the bank.
It helps. So we want to discuss your previous albums as well tonight. What, you're 9 or 10 albums deep, solo albums?
12.
12?
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't it 12? No, it's 12.
Wow.
Well, and you know, because...
That's staggering.
It's staggering, and I've got at least another 12 that I hear in my heart and my mind that I love the world to hear. And the interesting thing about it is the work, just like this particular CD, Moonride, has yet to really reach its potential, far as I'm concerned. So let's scream a little louder and let the world know that it's there.
Yeah. Colorful music for colorful people. This is Colorful Radio.
But I'm about to be aligned with some people that want to see what I do be recognized a bit more, and for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. Your album Musical Massage from, what, 76? That's a seminal Motown moment now.
You take me back to this extremely sentimental moment.
Yeah.
I mean, both the album itself and the moment, the time, very, very sentimental. I'm glad you mentioned it. Another album that, interestingly enough, it's called a classic. But a classic because my career has been, as far as the artist is concerned, kind of contained in a group of people that will keep you alive, can keep an artist alive forever. But as far as really being going to the level that I felt the album should have gone, and not only me, it's been, I've been emailed, and even before email was popular, mailed, and approached by many people about that particular album and why it didn't receive a lot more accolade and a lot more exposure. There's a story about it. I won't tell it on the
air.
It's
a cult classic here in the UK.
I know.
You know that.
But the beauty of the UK, you yourself as a DJ, Mystery Wormette, the people from years ago when I used to come to the UK and did pirate radio, the thing that is beautiful about you yourself is you played from inside. That in America, I won't say that they wouldn't play that record, but it's one thing that I enjoy about being in the UK, especially in the music scene, because they don't play what's in the top 10. They do, but there is a mindset among the music lovers here that is humbling. Not only honoring, humbling. Chokes me up because it goes past you being I call a temporary fan, where you're into somebody because they're hot for this minute,
or that moment,
the record is hot for that second, or whatever. But because of the music being a part of your life, because when someone takes a record and listens to it and dances to it, that's one thing. But when they also take that record home and they play it once a week or once or twice a day or whatever the sequence is, but when you take a piece of music home and it becomes a part of your musical, let's say, a background, that's the highest praise. So that's like taking a book home, reading it, and then rereading it in your heart, and then you go back to a particular paragraph or particular a place in the book. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
We're homing in on something, and I think the beauty of being an artist is having people like yourself and the community that you live in that embraces not only the surface of the music, but the inner core. So thank you so much.
We seem to get that said a lot from American artists that come over and on the show as well, is that there's more boundaries in the States, especially with radio.
It's not boundaries, it's money.
Simple and plain.
Listen closely. I tell no lies. It's a dollar in big double digits, lots of digits. And unfortunately, that being, we wind up with a lot of songs that are popular in America, make a lot of money, but far as them really being hits around the world, like some records become, then that's an interesting point about records in itself, because a record being a hit, a record being a piece of, let's say, a piece of work that is both a hit and I would say a work of art. Because there's a little bit of a difference there.
Yeah.
Some would say a big difference, but it's as I was saying about taking it home and making it a part of your life. Well, what we have is you're being the people and the mindset, and me being the artist and the people that I'm looking to inspire to take on a similar attitude. We're constantly feeding from each other. And I think American artists, needless to say, the competition in America is so much higher than it is anywhere in the world. I wouldn't say it. It's because the talent is better. It's because the amount of, let's say, money that's made when an artist is really doing well in America is made the quality of the work lesser. It's like for the past 20 years, we've had an industry that embraces more the act than the actor. I think I said that really nice. I like that. More the act than the actor, because it's the actor that should be getting the credit, but the act winds up getting... In other words, you got a lot of records that make a lot of noise, and make a lot of money, but as far as them being records that make a point. What record have you heard this year that will be a copyright? Only thing I... And when you look that way, it nails my point that we should go back, but the attitude of writers has changed, because you don't look at writing a song. Well, I won't say you don't look at, but the idea of writing a song that becomes a copyright, that mindset is not in today's music. Because I would say in the past 5 years, if you listen to the records that are hit records, and sometimes big hit records, only a handful of a lot of records would be called copyrights. Now, I'm not one to say that things should stay the same. By no means I love change. However, the quality of what we do is based on 150%, not a maybe, it's based on us doing the best we can. And when you've got a product, when you've got an industry that says, that's not important, just bring me the fluff. And you wind up with a year, several years of me asking, and I've been asking this question pretty much a lot for the past 3 years, because it came to me that it was really a potent question to ask. What have you heard this year that you feel will be sung by another artist, maybe a year from now, a couple of years from now? Just to point out that, not again, that we should stay in the past, but we should think about the future, and that when we're talking about teaching our kids how to make art, not artists. In clarifying that, what I mean is that, like the actor and the act, where it should be or could be is where we have now such an enormous amount of facility in the technical world. We can do so much more than we're doing. It's just we've got to get past the money-hungry people
yeah.
that say, bring me what you just heard.
Yeah.
Bring me
a number one hit.
Yeah. And when we get into, when we get past that, or if we can use that to inspire people to really dig deep, because the same guys I was telling you about the score, they told me a story that's similar to probably stories that you know of young, talented people walking into an A&R man's office, playing something, and then A&R man turning it down and saying, yeah, I like this, but can you play me something like this?
And that's why music is shallow at the moment.
The circle won't get any bigger unless you step outside the circle. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Yeah. It's like we've got a lot going on and a lot of talented people. The world isn't short of talent. We got some brilliant, talented people right now that are being... they're being held back. They're being smothered. And they're being taught that what I was taught is very important. What I was taught, say, 50 years ago as a young writer, is to be bad, was to be bad, was the greatest thing you could achieve. Being bad, meaning being proficient as an artist. Excellence, I'll put it like this. I said this better, but I'll try to say it close. Excellence is not a word that's used in this place anymore. If I'm wrong, somebody write me. But excellence is something that we should all be reaching for.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've heard an 11 out of 10 album. That proves the point. Colourful Radio, we're here with the legendary Leon Ware. Leon, we're going to get into some of your classics now. Are you ready for that?
I'm always ready for it.
Oh, okay.
Wonderful history.
Yeah, I know you have.
Wonderful history.
We're going to keep you here till 12 tonight.
You can keep me.
We're going to get deep with you tonight.
You can just keep me. And what you do and what I do, it is, like say, the ultimate process, because the creator being... delivered to the messenger. You're a messenger. You have an audience. You say things and you play things that you intend to arouse, enlighten, entertain a whole slew of let's say basic messages. I'm glad to be a part of it.
Colorful music for colorful people. This is Colorful Radio.
Just rocking you eternally. Our special guest tonight, the legendary Leon Ware. Three classics back to back, rocking you eternally. Instant Love. Do you know what? I think that's my favourite, actually. And Why I Came to California. Do you know how big that record is still in this country? Yeah, California. It's a UK soul favourite.
I'm so happy about that. I got this huge smile on my face because you play it. Your favorite is a song that also, almost a theme of my life, in that Instant Love was never really played.
I don't care. It's a great record.
Again, not just go back. It's not about it being great, because I think a lot of people feel like you do. I love the record. It's about it being exposed. But thank you so much. That was a thrill. And Rocking You Eternally is every time I come to this country, because it was here that I got choked up on stage looking at the faces of the people that were listening to that song the first time I played it here. It was more than overwhelming, because it's the magic of what we do, from your being a messenger to me being a messenger in front of countless people. And the best thing that happens at that moment is when you look into the face of someone or someone's and see the adoration, see the respect, and feel the love. There's no magic greater than that. That's the reason why, if you were to ask an entertainer why he goes through or she goes through the channels that we, because not everybody can has the whatever you call it. I think it's an insane streak to be an artist, because it's nothing practical about it, highly impractical. There are no hours. You have no guarantees. But there's a magic in what we do because of knowing that, it's like, you know, when you pull the dial down and you turn the lights off in here and you go home, you leave knowing that your service has been well done. You were said, introduced, and given messages that are not only entertaining, it's the food for the soul. It's called colorful, you know? And there's, I won't say there's nothing better, but that's wonderful. That's a testament that you can stand up and be proud to be a part of.
Absolutely. Now, I couldn't have you here today without talking about Michael Jackson as well.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, I know you, it's a poignant moment, obviously, but I want to play a record. You wrote this record? I Want to Be Where You Are?
That was Michael's third gold record.
Yeah, that's right. I love that record.
As a solo artist. And I also wrote a few other songs for the family. But
yeah,
in mentioning him, I have a few things to say. One, a beacon that we can follow forever and to be celebrated.
Absolutely, yeah. 4 decades in music. So describe what that record meant to you when you did that record, and now what it means after Michael's death.
Michael is, in my lifetime, I've known no artist that reached the heights. When I say heights, the amount of people that he touched in his short lifetime.
Yeah.
And the quality of his gift, the bar has been set so high, stretched. It's difficult to say. I'm optimistic, and I believe in magic. But we would have to, all I know is I hope that the beacon that he has left will be the inspiration for young artists around the world forever. There has been, and my words probably are, again, more words that have been said about him and his life. And I only look as far as what it meant to me. At the time, it was, to be perfectly honest, it was another hit at the time. I didn't realize the potency of the record for years later when I heard some children in my car. I stopped on a corner, and there were some children in a park singing this song as loud as they possibly could. And for any writer, and you can ask, it's one thing to hear your work on the radio. It's another thing to hear it on stage. But when you're riding down a street in your city or a city, and you stop on a corner and you hear a group of kids singing that song, and the gusto that they were singing it, that was better than anything for me. As far as me realizing how much the song was meaning to people. Now, as far as Michael doing it, again, I am blessed, like a few other people are blessed in actually knowing him. I didn't know him close. I can only say I knew him as an artist. I knew that what his service that he was giving to the world was beyond what we've seen. And again, I'm celebrating his life. And I'm saying that in as much sincerity and I say sadness, if you want to say, as one can say, because the gift is already been clear to, I'd say, as many humans as most people can probably reach in a lifetime. I heard it said that every corner of the earth was turned to that moment for a few days, maybe even a week. There were them that thought that it went on longer than it should have. I only know we've not seen and may never see again that quality. The one thing that's beautiful about all life is we come from love. If we're fortunate enough, we live to give some love. And we look and we go with love. The journey is one of the most beautiful journeys we can probably ever conceive or be a part of, the journey of life. And the service that he gave in that time, again, you know, it's unequatable. Words don't do it any justice. And I'm, again, glad to be one that is celebrating and endorsing the magic that he brought.
Yeah. So, Leon, I have to let you introduce this record.
I want to be where you are. And I do. And I am. And I will be.
Colorful music for colorful people. This is Colorful Radio.
Hey, Leon, two incredible tracks from the I Want You album.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a whole adventure.
You're blessed with that.
So much.
Yeah.
So much. So very much.
So you've worked on with other people as well, and written with other people, and produced Quincy, Minnie Riperton, and Maxwell as well. It's very interesting.
Mm.
John Legend, Donny Hathaway. Is that true?
Yeah? Yes. Yes. Again. When I as I continuously digest the work, the past, never tiring, always something a little bit new added. Like I said, it's like great sex. a romance that continues to inspire you. You're looking at a very humbled, continuously humbled individual, because I don't take this for granted. It's been a journey of love that's been received with love and contained with love.
So it must be great that you worked with Marvin, Michael, and Minnie Riperton in their prime as well.
Yes, and the blessing is though some of them may be in spirit, all of them live in my heart. It's like I say about love does not die, it transcends, of course, but
yeah.
And the beauty that I have is that I'm blessed with enough breath of life, if you want to call it, to enjoy the worlds that it is continuing to be a part of.
Yeah.
Nothing better than that. Nothing richer than that.
So how do you feel about these albums now? Looking back, taking stock of your career, you know, you can look back these sort of 30-plus years and just see that this music is timeless. And what does the future hold for Leon?
The same as the past, in the sense that what I just said, I continue to be as inspired as I have been as I was when I created this work. I may be even at this point, because there's a line in that song that a good experienced freak cannot be surpassed, even though the line doesn't say exactly that. But what it means is that when you learn how to do better what you've done, it gives you a sense of accomplishment, a sense of security.
Yeah, yeah.
Colorful music for colorful people. This is Colorful Radio.
Hey, Leon, two incredible tracks from the I Want You album.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a whole adventure.
You're blessed with that.
So much.
Yeah.
So much. So very much.
So you've worked on with other people as well, and written with other people, and produced Quincy, Minnie Riperton, and Maxwell as well. It's very interesting.
Mm.
John Legend, Donny Hathaway. Is that true?
Yeah? Yes. Yes. Again, when I as I continuously digest the work, the past, never tiring, always something a little bit new added. Like I said, it's like great sex. a romance that continues to inspire you. You're looking at a very humbled, continuously humbled individual, because I don't take this for granted. It's been a journey of love that's been received with love and contained with love.
So it must be great that you worked with Marvin, Michael, and Minnie Riperton in their prime as well.
Yes, and the blessing is though some of them may be in spirit, all of them live in my heart.
Mm.
It's like I say about love. Love does not die. It transcends, of course. But
yeah.
And the beauty that I have is that I'm blessed with enough breath of life, if you want to call it, to enjoy the worlds that it is continuing to be a part of.
Yeah.
Nothing better than that. Nothing richer than that.
Colorful music for colorful people. This is Colorful Radio.
Leon, thank you for passing through. I know you had a busy day of rehearsals at the Jazz Cafe today, so you're just perfecting your show. So thanks for coming by afterwards.
A labor of love that I hope continues as long as time and space will allow. And thank you, you and Colorful Radio, for having me, and I look forward to a return visit as soon as possible.
Thank you. Colorful Radio brought you tonight Mr. Leon Ware, the legendary Mr. Leon Ware. We look forward to your concert Thursday. Thank you, sir.
To see you as soon as...
Colorful music for colorful people. This is Colorful Radio.